hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Our text verse today is going to be verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right. The word right means a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold or sustain me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud, that is, sing joyfully, of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show, that is, declare forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. We're going to speak to you on the message today entitled A Time of Renewal. New Year is a time where obviously there are those type things that take place, as we see even here in this passage. Before we do that, we're going to have prayer. And after we pray, we've got two young ladies that I'm glad to have here singing for us today. The Trucks Girls, which is Tori and Taylor. And so you're going to be blessed by their song this morning. So let's bow and ask God's blessings upon this service today. Father, we bow before you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for these young ladies that are about to sing, and we pray you'll sing through them. And God, may their message and song touch our hearts. But more than that, Lord, may the message of your word speak to us, and may we be open and sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, if there's a lost one in our midst today, I pray that they'll come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. We pray now your blessings upon this time together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Great job. Enjoy that, didn't you? And that's a good song to remind ourselves of throughout this year. If it matters to you, that matters to the Master. I love that message and song. Psalm 51, as we look back in our text. You know, a new year is a time of things that we often would probably not think about until maybe we get to a point like this, is a new beginning. But some would say it's a time of reflection. It's a time of planning. Some would say it's a time of resolve, a time of inspection, personal inventory, anticipation. Some say it's a time of apprehension and commitment. But the word renewal best describes it all. If you look in verse 10 of Psalm 51 again, David, he prayed, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, that is, a steadfast spirit within me. Why was David praying this? Wasn't a new year that we believe was taking place. He wasn't caught up into New Year's resolutions, but something very tragically had taken place in David's life. David, after his affair with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, her husband, David wrote this classic passage in Psalm 51. He wrote this classic passage on man's repentance and God's forgiveness of sin. To David's credit, David recognized, as we read in this passage this morning, David recognized fully how horrendous his sin was against God. He blamed no one but himself. And we see in this passage David literally begging God for divine forgiveness and renewal. David says, create in me, O God, a clean heart. renew a right spirit within me. He's begging God. You go back and you put all of the passage together as we read it in context a moment ago, you see that's literally what he's doing. When you get to a point in your life like David was, David realized how wrong he was. He realized how far sin had taken him, even to the point of murder, that he realized there was no turning back. And the only way that he could get forgiveness and to turn back was to God. You know, a time of renewal is something that we all face from time to time. There's times where we obviously have to see ourselves doing that, sometimes not at the beginning of the year, but sometimes throughout the year. But where does renewal begin? Well, if you think about it, some of you have experienced this long ago, maybe. But renewal begins with, first of all, personal renewal. It begins with salvation. It begins with salvation. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man, generically any man or woman, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what happens whenever we become a child of God. It begins at salvation. Personal renewal does. You see, to renew our relationship with God, then we must become a new creature. This is where it all begins. If you look in Romans chapter 5 and hold your place in Psalm, we'll make reference back to that. In Romans chapter 5, we're going to make reference to a couple of passages in this scripture. But in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5, Paul writes here, wherefore as by one man sin. Who is that one man? That's Adam he's speaking of. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You see, once man, at one time, man had a perfect relationship with God before sin entered into the world. We had a perfect relationship with God. In the Garden of Eden, you go back and read in Genesis, that perfect relationship, it was fine until sin comes along. And that relationship with God was broken. Sin came about. We just had one got loose. Mama went to capture him. Alright. Aren't you glad, thankful for nursery workers? That's just that sin nature coming out. Alright. Listen, isn't that a good way to back up what I'm saying here? We're born with that. You don't have to teach kids that. We're born with that sin nature. That, you see, but that relationship was broken when sin came along. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus Christ, he went to the cross of Calvary in order that that kind of relationship could be made possible again. That perfect relationship, not that sinless relationship, because we're sinners until God calls us home, right? We still have that sin nature because we've inherited that sin nature. But in Christ, we can know when Jesus went to the cross, he demonstrated the fact that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are justified when we accept the fact of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. And by the way, whether you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that does not change what Jesus did on the cross. Because when Jesus went to the cross and he died, whether you accept his forgiveness or not, he died for you anyway. Thank God for that. But at the moment of salvation is when we have that personal renewal. That's where renewal begins in a personal way. That personal renewal begins at the moment of salvation. And see, in Christ, we, a theological term, a biblical term, we become justified. Now, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 21, says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Who is he talking about? Paul's talking about Jesus. Jesus made, God had made Jesus to be sin for us. And let me say that before I get into the rest of that verse, Jesus did not become a sinner because Paul said that. Notice what it says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, Paul is not advocating that when Jesus was on that cross, that Jesus became a sinner. Why? Jesus can't be a sinner. When Jesus hung on that cross, he remained God, who is holy. Rather, what Paul is saying, Jesus Christ, by hanging on that cross, was treated as if he were guilty of all the sins that mankind has ever committed. Jesus could not be a sinner. Some would say, well, Jesus, if he took upon my sin, that means he's a sinner. No, he was treated as a sinner who was guilty. He did everything that one would do. And yes, he took your place and my place on the cross of Calvary. And that's where Romans 5:1 comes in. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification in this verse is a one-time legal declaration with continuing results. In other words, when we are justified, we are declared to be made righteous by God at the moment of salvation. When you bowed your head, wherever time that was in your lifetime, and you invited Jesus Christ to come to your heart by repenting of your sins to be your Lord and Savior, that justification took place at the same time. Meaning God says, you're declared righteous. Your slate is clean. You're guiltless. Meaning that we have been established a relationship with God. It was broken in the garden. It was broken when man took upon sin, Romans 5:12. But yet God reestablished that relationship whenever he went to the cross of Calvary and we invited him in our heart as our personal Lord and Savior. We became justified. We didn't declare ourselves righteous. We can't do that. God declares us to be righteous because God knows our heart. You know, just because somebody says, I believe in God, doesn't mean that they're going to go to heaven. There's a lot of people, you go out here, matter of fact, go in Walmart. Don't do this, I guess. You might get in trouble. But if you're just taking a survey and you walk around Walmart and you say, how many of you believe in God? What kind of percentage do you think you'd come up with? It's already been done, by the way. I don't know if it's been done at Walmart, but it's been done. But there's a high percentage, 90% high percentage of people will say, I believe in God. Now, obviously, some people have a different God that they believe in today, so you'd have to narrow it down. But yet, you know, many will say they believe in God, but just because a person may believe in God does not make them righteous or justified or saved. In other words, who knows the heart? God knows the heart. David was having a personal renewal. David was not getting saved in this passage. David was already saved. But David was not living out his salvation because sin had, again, once again, he had given way to sin, as we're all guilty of doing from time to time. You will this year. Some of us will before the day's over with. Does that mean I have to get saved all over again? Not if you've been saved once. Once saved, you're always saved. But there may be those times of personal renewal. You see, that's where sanctification comes in. Personal renewal not only begins with salvation, but personal renewal continues with sanctification. Sanctification means it's a continual process. I am continually saved, or being saved, some would say. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Once saved, always saved. But Paul clears this up in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look with me, if you would, just a couple of passages of Scripture here. Look in verse 22. Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation. That is the former manner The old man. What is he talking about? Old self. Once you get saved, listen, you need to do away with that old self, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then he says in verse 23, and be renewed, there's that word renewal, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, generically new man or woman, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that he's talking about once you get saved, you're now sanctified, right? You've been sanctified. That is, you put off the old and put on the new. And so you don't go back and redo all this, because once saved, you're always saved. But yet, we need to live out sanctification to the point to where every day we set ourselves apart for God. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying. He gives examples here. He says, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here's another example, some examples. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, or that is your anger. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's what you expect out of a believer, right? A believer ought to be growing in their walk with God and being renewed day by day. So do away with the rotten and unwholesome words, he's saying. But that which is good, he said, take on that which is good to the use of edifying. The word edifying is to be building them up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then in verse 30, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, do you do that overnight once you get saved? No. But it's a growing process. As we live in this new sanctified body, this set apart for God, we learn and we to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us to put away those things that obviously stand in the way of our spiritual growth. Whenever somebody claims to be a Christian, not only should it be a claim that they make if they truly done, but it ought to be evidences. Or there ought to be ways that you can tell somebody's a Christian, right? Without trying to sound judgmental. And their life is going to speak of that. Look at, if you would, again in Ephesians chapter 4, but verse 24. We see true renewal is in the likeness of God, right? Look in verse 24. Paul says, "And that you put on the new man, generically new man or woman, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So true renewal is in the likeness of God. What is the likeness of God? Some view God as a halo over his head. So we ought to have a halo over our head, right? No. We know God is holy. We know God is righteous. Can we be that way? Paul says we can be. We can't be God, but we can live out holiness and we can live out righteousness. And we should be. That's part of true renewal. What do we replace it with then? If we're going to be that way, then surely if we're going to put righteousness and holiness in our life, what are we replacing? Well, we replace the old ways and the old habits and the new ways and all those things that honor God. Girls, please pay attention over there, okay? And all those things that honor God. Look in verse 25, if you would. Paul says in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying. The word lying there is just simply falsehood. He gives examples. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. When you think of putting away lying, he says speak the truth. Lying is you know, making foolish promises sometimes that we can't keep, knowing we can't keep it. I mean, cheating. I mean, surely none of that we're faced with on a daily basis or throughout the year. Paul says these are things that we have to work on. Lying really is all forms of lying. Betraying confidence in somebody, that's hard to restore sometimes, isn't it? Make false accusations. You say, where do you get all that, preacher? That's what Paul is talking about. Because you see, those are things that we have to work on constantly. He's just putting it in a phrase there to where there's more to just stop lying. You know, we live in a society today where somebody can come up with a false accusation, and you know what? Sadly, you're guilty. Used to be you're proven innocent before you're guilty. But now, have you noticed that humanly speaking, we'd rather believe a lie than the truth? And Paul says, for a believer, we're to put away those type things, because you see, when people, when they hear us speak, it ought to be that they know that when they speak, they're speaking the truth. And we can listen. So he says, speak the truth. And then he says, don't allow our emotions to lead us to sin. Look in verse 26. He says, be angry and what? And sin not. Now, Paul is not advocating you never to get angry. Boy, I get angry every day. Do you? Boy, I do. Turn the TV on sometime. Won't take long. Watch the news. You'll be angry. And you know, angry is a natural feeling that we have. But the problem is, when that anger leads to sin, there needs to be personal renewal. A child of God should not allow himself to allow anger to cause them to sin. That's what he's saying here. Be angry and sin not. Don't allow our emotions, in other words, to lead to sin. And if not careful, that's something that's going to get the best of us this year. Sometimes it happens to church members. Sometimes it happens to family members. And then he says in verse 27, don't give the devil what? Verse 27, he says, neither give place to the devil. What is he saying there? He says, do not give the devil opportunity. You know, the devil, as I've said before, he don't have any new tricks in his bag. What the devil is doing today, he's been doing for hundreds of years. He used the same old routine. He's got the same old tricks in his bag. He just moves it from one generation to the next. The only way the devil can use those tricks in his bag is when we give him opportunity. When we give him, just the idea, because he can't get in our head. Some people think, well, the devil knows what I'm thinking. He does not know what you're thinking. He cannot know what you're thinking. Because he's not God. The only way the devil can have opportunity in our life is through our actions, our words, what we say. And he observes that, and he's taking note of that. And okay, the next time around, I will hit him. And so, you know, that's the, sometimes he watches the people we hang out with that are not living for God or whatever, and you're supposed to be living for God, and you hang out with them. Okay, devil says, I've got somebody. I've got something for you. And he pulls that old trick out that he's been using before. He did that with David. As I said to the Sunday school class this morning, David, when he sinned against Bathsheba, David did something very innocent. David did not, I don't believe, walk out on his balcony and decided, I'm going to sin today. I don't believe David predetermined that I'm going to look upon a woman and I'm just going to start lusting after her. I don't believe that David decided that he's going to fulfill that lust and then decide to kill the husband of this woman. I don't believe that David came up with this plan. Who came up with it? Satan did. Because what happened? David gave Satan an opportunity. How? when he walked out on the balcony, nothing wrong with that. When he looked up and thought, boy, this is a beautiful day. Boy, don't the sunshine feel good today? But all of a sudden he looked, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly how all this worked out, but we know that he looked upon Bathsheba. And obviously, I don't know how she was dressed, but the problem was, now, nothing wrong with noticing people, but the problem was, he began, as we said in Sunday school, he began to gaze, and that gaze, that led to an opportunity of lust. Well, you think the devil's finished with him? Okay, David. You lusted, you followed through that lust. What does the devil come to David and say to, now you need to take care of her husband? The only way to take care of her husband is to kill him. So David does. David did one of the most awful deeds in our mind. You think, well, he that was awful. He committed lust. He followed through with that. Yeah. But he murdered? Hold on. David's the man after God's own heart, right? The devil don't care who he's after. Matter of fact, the devil's not after a lost person. He already has that lost person. Why does he need to go after the lost person? He already has them. They're going to hell until they give their life to Jesus. So who is Satan after? Satan's after the believer. And the only way the believer, the child of God, can give the devil a lead way in their life is to give him an opportunity. And sometimes it's just those little things that we do where the devil starts. He puts that bait on the hook. And he dresses it up and he makes it look real good. I do that sometimes when I go fishing. Boy, I'll dress that hook up. And brother, I'll dress it up and try to hide that hook on there, that pointed end, you know. You don't want the fish to see that. He knows if he bites it, he's going to get bit. And I mean, it's going to hurt. We think that way. But you know what? Sometimes the devil comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? He tries to be like God. Got to be careful. Don't give way to the devil. That's what Paul is saying. So then he goes on to say in the same passage, we need to replace the bitterness, the wrath, and the anger with kindness. That's what he says. Well, you know, how can we do that? A sanctified, born-again believer can do that. We need to replace the bitterness and the wrath and anger with what does he say? Kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness? Well, how about those New Year's resolutions? You say, I've been an angry person this year. As a Christian, God says, replace that with something good. You know, I've been bitter this year. God says, replace that with something that's good, that's kind and tender. But first seek God's forgiveness for it. Can you imagine what would happen if we all resolved to renew these? Can you imagine what would happen in our communities, in our families, in our churches, if more of God's people resolved to the fact, hey, I need to come to personal renewal in my life when it comes to these areas that I have fallen short in. And it's just simply because we give the devil opportunity. And let me ask you this morning, are you going to continue to give him opportunity this year to try to destroy your life? Or maybe somebody else's life. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but the devil is looking for opportunities, isn't he? Personal renewal is important. Renewal is available to all. Go back to our text in Psalm 51. How do we know renewal is available to all who seek God? Look in Psalm 51, verse 10. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. That is a steadfast spirit within me. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, by the way, David was not making reference to God taking the Spirit of God out of his life. Once you're saved, you're always saved. What is David making reference here to? David's making reference to that special Holy Spirit anointing. Now, he's committed murder. Now, did David have to pay for that sin? Sure he did. But he was forgiven of that, as we see even here. even to the point to where God chose to continue to use David's life. Now, we often think, how much greater could David have been used of God had he never given into this sin? We will never know that. But what David was praying here is, God, don't remove that special anointing that you have upon my life. He says in verse 12, again, the idea of he's begging God to forgive him. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Whenever we give the devil opportunity and we find ourselves in sin, what happens to the joy? It goes out the door. We don't lose our salvation, but yet we lose the joy that we once had. Sadly, there's a lot of Christians that have lost their joy because they've given opportunity to the devil. They've given opportunity to the devil. So he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold, that is, sustain me with the free spirit. Then will I teach. Notice what he says. You do that, God. He's not really bargaining with God, but he is in his own way promising God what he would do. He says, then will I teach transgressors. In other words, people like me who have fallen. People like me who is a man after God's own heart that have given way to the devil. Lord, if you'll do this for me, he's making that promise to God. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So he says, create, renew, restore, sustain. He's praying to God. When this happens, sinners will be converted. That's what he's saying. David knew by him getting right with God, it would mean that others would come to know Christ as Savior. He was that determined. He knew that if his life would change and people began to see his life and they saw a real change in his life, that meant that others will change. You know what? That happens with believers as well today. That if you're out of God's will and or you're here, you're backslidden, or you're not serving God as you should, you know what? You're affecting someone else's life. You may not even realize it. Maybe a family member who's been watching you and said, you know, they've been going to church, but they don't go to church anymore. They used to read their Bible. They used to be somebody that, boy, they live right. They did right. But now, look, they're ruining their life. What would happen if your life was changed? What would happen if you recommitted, renewed your life and decide, hey, I'm going to rather live for the devil, I'm going to live for God. Then like David, people will, that maybe you have affected, family members, friends, children, or whatever, may find their way to God because you decide to change your life. Let me ask you, do you want to see more people saved this year? You got a family member that's lost? Want to see them come to know Christ this year? One way to maybe affect their life is through your life. Maybe because you decide, hey, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to renew my life, I'm going to try to be a different person this year. But it's going to take personal renewal. It may be if you're not saved, that's where, honestly, that's where it's got to start. You got to give your heart to Jesus. But if you're not, say you're a Christian, you're not living for God as you should, then it may mean that, hey, I, like David, need to beg God forgiveness. Because I don't want my life to be one that's going to affect others from coming to know Christ as Savior. But you know why? There's an enemy of renewal. That's the second thing I want you to keep in mind. There's an enemy of renewal. And that is wrapped up in one word. The enemy of renewal is called apathy. Apathy is the greatest enemy of renewal. Now, many of us know what that means. Apathy just simply says, in a nutshell, I don't care. That's what apathy says. I don't care. I don't care about changing. I don't care about growing. I don't care about improving. I'm getting involved in ministry. Satan wants us to believe that it's too much work for us to really care for others or God, so I don't really care. Someone has said the worst sin toward others is not to hate them, but to be indifferent toward them. It's not to hate them, but to be indifferent toward them. Apathy. May I add to that, too often we're indifferent toward God and His Word, aren't we? I hope that won't be the case for some of you this year. God's Word says to give, but we don't care until we have need. God's Word says to pray, but we don't pray until we find ourselves in a corner with no way out. God's Word instructs us on the importance of training our children in the ways of the Lord, but we don't care until our kids get into trouble. Apathy will prevent us from seeking God in a personal renewal this morning. In other words, like we said last week, I'll just put it off till tomorrow. Well, tomorrow doesn't come. When we decide we're going to put things off, that tomorrow doesn't come. We best do it today. That's what God says. And so if not careful, apathy sets in. I never met this fella. I read about him, studying the history. But our 27th president, William Howard Taft. Anybody lived there during that time? Our 27th president, William Howard Taft, made this statement. He said, "Too many people don't care what happens so long as it doesn't happen to them." You know what? You think about that, that's a true statement, isn't it? As long as I'm not affected, I don't care. And sadly, that's where we've come as a nation, in America. We used to care about our neighbor, right? We used to care about whether, you know, their kids are doing all right and their family. I'm not saying they don't, but I'm saying that that's kind of the way we're at. And the reason we're in the mess we're in our country is because we're in a state of apathy in our own nation. And it's settled into our churches. But you know what? That doesn't mean we can't come out of that. It's going to take personal renewal. It's going to have to take the fact that we have to recognize the enemy. And once we recognize it, then we need to do the third thing. We need to, number three, we need to begin renewal. So renewal begins by, first of all, for a believer or an unsaved person, going to God. Going to God. David did. He says in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He went to God. He went to the source of the one who can help him, who can obviously get him through whatever he's going through in life. And he says, "Renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me." It means going to God. It also means waiting on God. I was out shopping over the holidays, and my wife can tell you, I usually go to one or two stores. I don't go to Walmart. I'm not opposed to you going to Walmart. I just know if I go to Walmart, I'm going to wait. And I'm not one that likes to wait when it comes to... You're not either, Brother Frank. I know. I didn't talk to your wife. So I go to a couple of places where I know I won't have to wait long. And I try to get in and out. That's my shopping. Now, I'm sensitive about that. Ladies, don't get on to me, okay? My wife would tell you, I usually try to. But yet, at the same time, I'm not very patient when it comes to waiting. I know I need to work on some of that. But waiting on God is a little more difficult sometimes, isn't it? Because God doesn't work off a clock. He doesn't work off our schedule. Look in Isaiah 40 with me, if you would. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 says, if you're there, Isaiah says, "Hast thou not known?" In other words, do you not know? "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" In other words, God does not become weary or tired, is what he's saying. "Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint," that is to the weary, "and to them that have no might, he increases strength," that is power. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But notice verse 31. We know this verse well. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew." There's that word again. "Shall renew their strength." That is, they will gain new strength. They will have a new will. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Waiting on God, we know if we're willing to wait on God, we're promised a renewed strength to carry on. So renewal begins by going to God. It also continues by waiting on God. And then thirdly, by not looking for that what? That quick fix. You know, that's me sometimes. You know, we're kind of like that as Americans. We want that quick fix. We're used to that. We see that's the way we're being programmed a little bit. I mean, we got computers, we got phones, now you've got watches. You know what I'm talking about. Let God renew the inner man. And by the way, I'm not opposed to any of those things. Don't think I'm preaching against that, okay? You know, if you got it, that's fine. If you can use it to your advantage to help you out, that's great. I have a cell phone that talks to me. I tried to talk to that lady on that cell phone. She don't understand a southerner. But listen, let God renew the inner man day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed how? Day by day, one day at a time. You know, well, I went to church last Sunday, preacher, and I gave it to God at the altar, and I made it right, and man, my week's just been terrible this week. Probably there's going to be days like that. Had somebody I met with in my office this past week, and that's the way they felt. I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, and you know, I don't know why all these bad things are happening in my life. And I gave him this same response, you know, you're a Christian, right? Yeah, that's why it's happening. Because the one who we like to point blame to is not the problem. Many times it's the devil we've given opportunity to during the week. So what do? We have to renew day by day. Not get saved every day. We're saved. Once saved, always saved, right? But there's we like Paul says, we take one day at a time. We you know, if you wait till next Sunday to have business with God, then you're going to find out your week is going to, you're going to have a tough week. But if you wake up every day, and I encourage you every day, have some private devotions with God. Give God, if you're not giving God anything right now, as I've challenged teenagers for, at least give God 5 minutes of your time a day. We can do that. Pray, read our Bible, and I guarantee you, as you find yourself doing that every single day, you'll find that that time will grow. It'll expand. You'll find you've got more things to pray about. You'll find that, hey, I'm enjoying this passage of Scripture, so I'm not going to read just one or two verses. Man, I'm going to keep reading because this is good. And you'll find that your devotions will grow, and you'll find that there are people that God will send in your life that He knows now you're a prayer warrior. That they'll come to you and they'll ask you, can you pray for me? And you're wondering, why all these people come to me to ask for prayer? Because God has sent them your way. God does that. True renewal takes place in the mind. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we need to be renewed in our mind, Paul says. That's where true renewal begins. Not just on the outward. Sometimes we want to clean the outward up, when really we need to work on the mind, what's in the heart. Once the heart's cleaned up, then the outward will clean itself up, right? That's where it works. But we got to let God get into the heart. That's what David said. Create in me a what? A new what? What does it say? Create in me a new heart? Clean heart. He didn't say a clean body. Clean heart. His mind. That's what he's talking about. He knew once that got cleaned up, then everything else would work out. Then the last point. Renewal begins by going to God, waiting on God, by not looking for the quick fix. I didn't talk much about that, but you know what I'm talking about. But true renewal is effective. Renewal is effective when renewal is implemented with these four things I'm going to give you real quickly. Number one, it requires personal inventory. You know, it's often that we look at other people's life and we see what other people needs to do, and sometimes we want to correct their life, and sometimes we want to live our life through them. But you know what? Personal renewal means that we have to take personal inventory. We don't have to do that sometimes. In other words, we have to ask ourselves, where are we at? And I ask you that this morning as you take personal renewal. Where are you at today with God? You say, well, I'm fine. Well, if that's the case, that's fine. But you know, personal renewal is that. We need to look at ourselves. Then secondly, it's effective when there's planning that's going on. Effective renewal requires planning. What do we do? What do we want to accomplish, in other words? That's planning. And then not only that, how do we accomplish it? So there needs to be planning. You business leaders in the church, you know what I'm talking about. You're doing this all throughout the year, but especially maybe at a few times a year, you've got to you sometimes start all over. And it involves determination. You know, hey, listen, I've evaluated myself. I know what I need. I know what needs to be done. I've got a plan. Now, what else happens? We need to have the determination and the commitment to follow through. Now, that's where we often give up, isn't it? We can look at ourselves all day and find what needs to be done, and we can have a plan in place, and it sounds good, but then the determination and the commitment is what really is hard to put into place sometimes, isn't it? We all have to work on that. And then action. Effective renewal requires action. Someone said the best plans are failures without actions. And that is so true sometimes. Have you ever come up with what you thought was a great idea, but you never implemented, and you thought, man, if only I would have done that. Didn't follow through. Every one of us needs renewal, including this preacher, from time to time. Every one of us needs rededication to two areas. Faith in God. Faith in God and a commitment that I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. Faith in God and a commitment that I'm going to serve Him. If you're not a Christian this morning, now's the perfect time to give your heart to Jesus. Why wait? Don't put it off. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed? Let me ask you, as a Christian, are you willing to say, preacher, if I come to this altar, it may mean that I'm confessing or I'm admitting to something in my life that I need to make right with God? I don't know what it would mean. I wouldn't worry about what others think. If you're a lost person, I wouldn't worry about what others think. Walking an aisle, I realize, does not save a person, but it's a good way to get started. We've got people that can counsel with you if you don't know Christ as your Savior. We've got altars that are open here this morning. Being a Baptist church, I'm thankful that, you know, we encourage folks on an invitation to come if you want to have prayer with yourself and God and at these altars. That's what they're here for. If you want someone to counsel with you, we'll be down front ready to talk with you, pray with you if need be. Well, what about you, that personal renewal? Are you in right standing with the Lord as you should be? If that's the case, then that's fine. But if not, are you willing to go into another year or another day, giving the devil opportunity? Because he's looking.